Good evening. This is TNT Radio, brought to you by Bloggin Broadcasting Service, and I'm Nevin Campanella, your net reporter.
You guys are way up. That's too loud. I'm getting a lot of feedback.
Yeah, that's better.
Oh, your headphones
set. Yeah. Sorry, folks, a little interruption, but that's life on live radio on the net. And how's everybody this morning, this afternoon, this evening? You know, I got to get used to saying it all the way around the world. TNT Radio does not broadcast locally. We don't broadcast just in the United States. We don't broadcast just on planet Earth. We broadcast through the universe. Everyone's listening. Because, guess why? Bloggin Broadcasting Service has got the best broadcasting service in the universe. Folks, tonight we're going to have a special show. A little bit different than usual. We have a very special guest with us tonight, Hugh Ray from Down Under. This gentleman has made a number of posts on the Trusted News Trader. By the way, that's where TNT comes from, Trusted News Trader. Good evening, Hugh Ray. How you doing? Can you hear me?
How are you?
Ah, excellent. Yes. Yeah, I hear you. Just...
Can you hang on a sec? I might just change phones, see if I get a clear line.
Yes, go for it. While he was changing phones, we'll cover a little bit of quick material from this day in history. This day in history.
I've already changed.
Ah, you got it. Wonderful. Yeah. Well, Hugh is with us tonight because he wrote a very different post on the TNT board, and the name and title of the post is called Thor's Stone. But before we get started with that, let's find out a little bit about Hugh and where he lives and what it's like where he lives and so on and so forth. So, Hugh, tell the audience a little bit about yourself, just a little bit.
Well, I'm in my early 50s. I'm not average. I live in the east coast of Australia near the water, because I like that sort of atmosphere, and I like looking at different things.
You're just about headed into your winter now, aren't you?
Well, no, this is the best time of year. We're on autumn, and it's really clear and still.
Clear and still. Now, you said you live
only today.
You said you live along the ocean.
Well, this is the more or less the inlet to the ocean, yes, the estuary.
Oh, okay. Do you do any fishing there?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wonderful.
There's the professional fisherman next door. I can cheat. If I want some fish, I just go next door.
You'll have to speak a little bit louder. Hugh,
pardon?
You have to speak a little bit louder, Hugh. Talk directly into the phone.
Okay. Yes, I do a fair bit of fishing, but I've got a professional fisherman next door if I run out of supplies, yes.
Wonderful. Okay.
He's got crabs, lobsters, everything you can think of.
Oh, well, then you get to eat really well every night, don't you?
At wholesale prices.
At wholesale prices. You can't beat that with a stick. You can't.
No.
Okay, let's get on to this very different post that you made. I've never seen anything like it on a TNT board before. First, let me tell you, I'm very familiar with runes. And when I saw Thor's Stone, it kind of caught my attention. And that's why I asked you to join us on the radio today. Tell us about it. What are you talking about?
Well, as far as runes are concerned, I used to study them, and my mother's Norwegian, so it was quite natural. But I'm not associating this with any runes, but you can read a lot into runes. A lot of the knowledge about their meanings is lost. And especially if you talk, I use them to talk to myself. If anyone tries to talk to God or something like that, I think they're being misled. So you actually use the runes to talk to yourself. So if you get the meaning of each rune, even if you have a different meaning by the feeling of it, that's what it says to you.
Okay.
And combinations of runes can say combinations of things, of course.
Well, now you
not that I was talking about runes in this stone.
I understand. Yeah, I understand. The only reason I brought it up is simply because of the name Thor, and that's what caught attention. But you talk about this as if it's instead of one singular thing, a group of rocks of some sort. Is that correct?
That's how I felt about it, and that's what makes it more logical. You see, now the Thor business, the Icelandic sagas, to me are more interesting than all the other ancient texts, other than the Sanskrit. But because my mother's Norwegian, I can sort of feel what they're saying. Because when in the ancient sagas, and there's many of them, they're describing something that isn't actually said or translated properly, but they're describing the general business that they're talking about, you know, when they're talking with Odin or about whatever, Thor, whatever. So I try to get the feeling what the general thing is they're talking about. And because I like the Icelandic and Nordic sagas, I used Thor. If I knew more about the Vedic, I'd use someone else's name, I guess.
Well, I guess the thing that I'm curious about, Tony, is when you talk about Thor's stone, you say it's a bunch of rocks. Are you talking about something you actually have in your possession, or are you talking about something that you're imagining?
No, I haven't got it in my possession. It's more like a visualization.
Okay, that's what I wanted to clear up.
That is an imagination, if you want to say the imagination. It sort of just came, you know, I don't look for it. Same with that business about the brown dwarf being Planet X. It's actually the place where the brown dwarf used to be.
Okay.
All the planets and asteroids are it.
We're jumping.
That's the twin of the sun I'm talking about.
Uh-huh. A lot of the audience, Tony, are not really going to fully understand some of the things we're talking about, so we have to bring it to a very concrete level so that we catch everybody up.
I was sort of assuming that people had read the post, but anyway, yeah.
No, a lot of them may not have.
That's right.
That's why I'm bringing on the show, because, in fact, we may be broadcasting to people that don't even go on the TNT message board itself. So
I wasn't thinking.
Okay, let's get back to basics here. Thor's stone is a concept, and the concept is a bunch of rocks. Okay, and it's an Icelandic Nordic type of concept. Now, what can you do with this image that you hold on to? What is it for? How do you use it?
Well, from my personal perspective, you mean?
Sure, from your personal perspective.
Well, from my personal perspective, I expect the Earth will get hit yet once again. But as I said in the post, it doesn't seem that it's going to be disastrous. More, it will be more of a correction.
You're saying that Thor's stone, or what you sometimes refer to as Thor's hammer, you're talking about this in some kind of abstract way hitting the planet Earth and that is Planet X? Is that where you're bringing this to?
No. Planet X, to me, is a misnomer, actually. It's not my kettle of fish. Planet X, I'm saying, is misunderstood. Thor's stone, in my mind, is a cluster of, well, you could say, asteroids that are periodic, cyclic, and every now and then we get clobbered by one or more of them.
Ah, okay. And are you thinking that this is something that is about to happen to us on the planet?
Well, yes, not without trying to scare anybody, but, you know, I've got it pat down from what I've been looking at. It's as close as the minimum time, about 18 months. But I'm not going to say it is going to happen in 18 months, but that's as best I can work it out.
Well, no, that's fine. And the audience is used to those kinds of ideas, Tony. They really are. What would throw them was the relationship you made to Thor Stone, but now I understand. And
I'm only using that as a concept because of reading all the Icelandic saga.
Yes, now I understand.
So this is a repeating thing, basically.
Okay, these asteroids are out there somewhere floating around in space, and they're on some sort of collision course with the planet Earth. Is that correct in terms of how you see it?
That's the way I see it, yes.
Okay. Now, the question I have for you is, how do you arrive at that conclusion? What do you look at? I mean, is there data on the net other people could look at? How do you arrive at that this group of asteroids is out there and headed towards us?
Well, I did a lot of reading, as I said, with the Nordic and Icelandic sagas, but I also studied and read a lot about the samples they took out of the Irish bog oak, it was, that showed there was a cyclic, well, there was some sort of cataclysm a certain time ago. Then I looked at where previous strikes had been, like one in the Gulf of Mexico, one over in the eastern part of the Mediterranean, and so on and so forth. And the picture just kept building up until I thought, well, this is, you know.
Ah, yeah, I understand. There was a back in around 1906, 1908, there was a major hit in Russia. Was that part of this cycle that we're talking about?
Don't think so.
Oh.
That one exploded. Didn't even hit the ground properly. But anyway, I don't think so. This sort of subject gets rather broad. You're looking at things like what the Cassiopeians say. You know, are you familiar with that?
No, I'm not. Why don't you tell us about it?
I don't even know how to say it properly.
Well, that's okay.
The channelings or whatever, the writings of the Cassiopeians or whatever, through, I can't remember her name now.
That's okay, Tony.
Website. Anyway, they were talking about there's a cluster of comets. Now, I thought, that's impossible, you know. But no, they say that before this time wave business hits, there's a cluster of comets. And at the same time, I was speaking to astroarchaeologist, he calls himself. He's also an engineer. And he was showing the mappings of the arrival of each comet and how it came and went in the sky, and it showed a spiral vortex. Then on one sheet, he showed six or seven recent ones. And I thought, bingo, there's the cluster.
Yeah.
You see, we expect them all to lob at once, but they came over the last 10 years. And when you see them on one page, on one drawing, you get a cluster. And it's actually startling the way that they actually, a couple of them point to each other in their spirals. Now, we're sort of getting into quantum physics there, but I couldn't find that photo. I was going to get it for him so I could send it, drawing he did, that I could, so I could send it on to the TNT board. I might do that. But that's what started me thinking. We're not just talking normal three-dimensional time here. We're talking grouped time. So the cluster in a group time would be all stuck together, I guess. But in our three-dimensional time, it may not be. But there is this cyclic thing, as if we pass through an asteroid belt or it passes through us or something. And planet X is being said to be pulling a tail of dust and asteroids with it.
Yes, that's what I understand.
But I say planet X is where our sun's twin used to be. That's the center. There's nothing there except another magnetic center, a gravitational center, you see. I say that all our planets and the asteroids that we know about and don't know about, and the asteroid belts and all that, are actually the physical remnants of this brown dwarf. And here we are sitting on part of it, the Earth.
So you're saying that are you saying that the Earth itself formed originally from that cluster?
No, from the explosion of the Earth, the Sun's twin, which may have been like a brown dwarf.
Ah, okay. And so then, in layman's terms, it actually no longer exists.
That's right, except its center of gravity will still exist, and that will be seen as an anomaly.
Yes, I understand. I understand what you're saying.
So that may be the planet X part of things, this invisible center where the center of gravity where that brown dwarf used to be, but now the planets in the solar system plus all the asteroids are the physical remnants of that.
Well, that magnetic force would still exert some sort of control over everything else that's around it, even though the planet X itself might be gone, that magnetic center.
True.
Yeah.
That's right. That's correct. But it's balanced over the millions or billions of years into a solar orbit of planets. So that whether or not the invisible center still rotates around the sun like it used to, it may do. If that is the case, then we have an anomaly that will be very hard to explain.
Well, we have a lot of unexplainable anomalies right now. I mean, the weather pattern is so screwy. I mean, even the most cynical person has got to start recognizing that, boy, something is very strange. I don't know about your part of the world, Tony, but here we've had phenomenal weather. I mean, it's just really, really strange. Let's get back to the cluster itself. If this thing is on a cycle and it has happened before, then we ought to be able to see some scars on the Earth or the planet itself from previous strikes, right?
Well, check out the Gulf of Mexico. What do you think that's doing there?
Okay.
That's one.
All right. So you're saying the Gulf of Mexico was formed by one of those impacts sometime in the history of the planet Earth.
Yes, and it looks like from, as far as I can find out, there was one on the eastern shores, east-southeast shores of the Mediterranean, and there has been others, but it seems as though these strikes are getting less and less, like the masses are becoming smaller.
Okay, now you did say that whatever it is, it does seem to be on its way back.
Yes.
Now.
Rather than going away, we haven't just had one.
Okay, so.
In the cycle.
You think we're in that part of the cycle where it's not going away, it's coming towards us.
Yes, we're towards the end of the cycle. I think a lot of people feel that way.
All right. You also,
now the weird weather we do have it here. It's berserk in a sense. There's some things happening, as you may be aware. Some of the listeners may be aware that we're getting flashes over the South Pole. I was sort of seeing them, but not knowing what it was. Now you're not supposed to see that stuff, but I was seeing something.
Well, on this radio, you can say anything you want.
No, but I mean, I was seeing something, and I couldn't understand it. It was like we were getting hit by something, but I didn't know what it was, like an energy. Then science, NASA, and everyone else says we're getting hit by cosmic blast, and it's happening down at the Antarctic, and exactly the direction I was looking.
You also,
more than once.
You also brought up a concept that you actually channeled something. And I'm using that word because I don't know what else word to use. I'm going to read the statement. I actually heard the words mentally, Thor's stone. Nothing else, no extra.
That's right.
Okay.
Well, it's like mine saying that. It wasn't an entity or anything. As far as I can work out, that it was maybe it's my superconscious, maybe my inner conscious. it just slammed it on the table, floor of stone. And I thought, what's that? Then I sort of had an explanation of it. It sort of came as a whole concept.
Well, you also stated that there was no feeling of danger.
That's right.
And that there was no need to worry about this event. So by that, are you saying that when this cluster does strike, it is not going to upset, economic situations, social situations, political situations? Or will it?
Well, I say it will upset the lot in that respect, yes. But it's not devastating. That's the feeling I got. It's not a bad thing.
It's not a planet. It's not a planet killer, is what you're saying.
No. No, that's the feeling I got. And the problem with these, I'm sure you get them. Everyone gets these inner feelings, or you just know something for some reason, and the message you're getting is so straight and precise with no explanation. So I can't really question that. So what I did is I just felt, well, what's the aftermath? And there was no problem, basically.
Yeah, you also...
Well, I can't describe it.
Yeah, you also suggested that you weren't sure if the lack of warning was for you specifically. You said, I do not know if that means that I personally will be in the right place at the right time, meaning that everything will be okay with regards to myself. That's right.
That's how the message came, or that's how I had the feeling. It was as if I haven't got a problem. I didn't know if it meant other people were going to have a problem.
You also bring in a concept here that after this event, or maybe it's wishful thinking on your part, excuse me, a return to Eden. But I think what you're saying is maybe we need something to shake us up a little bit because our present civilization is so screwed up that maybe with a little bit of shake up, maybe we would make some positive changes. Is that correct, Tony?
Yes, I think the return to Eden is a natural thing anyway. It's a natural event. It will happen one day somehow. But the part of that is probably wishful thinking. But because of my experience in the scientific field and other places, I've seen so many patents and things shelved and hidden. The only thing is that are good for mankind... You know, you don't have to run a car on petrol. It's ridiculous to have pistons jumping up and down and things like that. These, under a worldwide stressful situation, all these things will be released, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Business will not count as the major prime mover.
Well,
survival will.
You, at the very beginning, you mentioned the possibility of 18 months. How do you arrive at, and I know that you're not saying it's going to happen in 18 months, but the number came up. So I want to ask you about it. Why does that kind of float through your brain?
That one doesn't float through. About 5 years ago, for three of the 5 years, I kept seeing this lady that I did not know. I kept seeing her, what she looked like, what she did. It's like I knew her, but I've never had met her. And during, while I was seeing this lady, it's not like a vision or spooky stuff, it was just I could see her in my mind, as if I knew her, but I knew I never met her.
Uh-huh.
So I sort of dismissed it. Now, during that time, I found myself seeing this event that I'm talking about, this floor of stone, happen.
Oh, you were seeing the event take place? Oh, okay.
And it happened really fast. Now, besides that, I couldn't work out what was going on. I was just getting all this information, and I thought it was a bit of a fairy tale, and I ignored it until one day I was driving home near about half a kilometre from my place, and this lady was there working in the garden. She's about 40, And I didn't click at the time. I just stopped to ask her how she was going and all that. She was growing vegetables and doing all this other stuff, and I stopped to go and look at the beach at the time, so I was talking to her. And as I was talking to her, I started to realize that she was this lady that I'd seen. And that, all the hair on the back of my neck stood up, and I thought, woo. And she has a tie-in somehow to this event. And I didn't know how to sort of say anything to her, so I was just letting her talk. And after a few minutes, I said to her, what has she got plans for the future? And by the way, even her, she had a mother there, even her mother, I'd seen her. So it was really powerful. This was, you know, I was nearly choking when I met her. I thought, what the hell's going on? Anyway, I asked her about what is her plans. I just asked her. I wasn't thinking. And she said she was going to sell her property down south and go and live in Italy. And that's exactly where I saw the event from. So all I could hear was 2 years at that stage. That was about 6 months ago.
Ah, okay.
So don't ask me how this all works, but the 2 years she mentioned was the shortest time span. That's a bit of a mystery.
Well, let's get it down to location now in terms of this group of rocks that are about to come through space in approximately 18 months, maybe not. Where do you think the major strike on the planet would be?
Well, with regard to this lady, I was sitting, was looking through her eyes, as far as I can work out, and I was sitting on the northern shores. I thought it was Greece, but Italy will do. The way this all happened, I thought, oh, well, it doesn't matter where it is, northern Mediterranean. And without taking up too much of your time, there was other very visual things that happened to me. I was shown the moon come out of Lake Victoria of Africa, then it stopped at two places on the western shore of the Mediterranean, and then it moved to a spot where the Isle of Crete is. I didn't even know where it was, so I looked on the map. So basically, for some weird reason, it's a dead hit on the Isle of Crete coming from the east.
So then you would...
That's what I saw.
Yeah. If it
came out of the sun, just after sunrise. I could not work out if it was actually... Because I could see it, and I can still see it. It's so fast, I couldn't tell what it was, but it came out of the sun. Now, this could mean that I'm completely wrong about these rocks, but the way that I was shown a spray pattern, I don't think I'm mistaken here, but I wouldn't count out a solar flare of some weird type, you know. It came out of the sun, fastest damn thing I've ever seen. And as soon as it got to where I was, that was the end of, you know, the picture.
Okay, let's try to... hypothesize a little bit, Tony. If this group of rocks were to hit the Isle of Crete, considering the size of them, the speed, and everything else, what kind of damage would we be looking at? What would occur? What do you think?
Well, I called it the Messiah when I saw that, because the whole Middle East will know all about heavenly things, put it that way.
Okay, so if it's...
It would just wipe out the Middle East.
Yeah,
I'm not saying this is accurate, but this is what I saw. It basically turned half the Mediterranean into steam, plasma, dust, and just kissed goodbye the whole west coast there.
Would it go up into Europe at all, do you think?
No, it's... From what I saw, it was a very vivid splatter zone across... It reached all the way to sort of like the trailings would over to Afghanistan. I started to think at the time it was a geopolitical vision or something, you know, but it was a strike.
Uh-huh.
That's all I saw.
You called it the Messiah. That's a curious name. How did you come up with that or why? How did your head get to that?
That just came up. It was sort of a funny thought. if they want to find out, meet their Messiah, this is it. It's coming.
Uh-huh.
Because, in that sense, there's always political bickering over there. What is heaven all about? Who is God? Well, if this event did happen, they would soon find all that out.
Well, let's suppose that it did happen. Let's suppose that it strikes the Isle of Crete. It takes out the Middle East and a lot of other territory. At that point, what do we have left to deal with on the planet Earth? What would you expect?
I was only looking at that strike if it was a possible and a real strike, that the shock wave from that would decimate Southeast Europe. In, not flatten it, but, there'd be a lot of eardrums ringing.
You think that it would stimulate earthquakes, obviously?
No.
No, it wouldn't. Okay.
I actually thought it was going to stimulate a roll.
Oh, okay.
But I can't see how. I can't see why it would. But when you get into that sort of thunderbolts.com electric mechanics, anything could happen.
You're talking about McCaney's website? Is that what we're talking about?
That's right, yeah. With that, using that sort of theory, electrical theory, interference with a fairly stable gravitational field in that, on that magnitude, could stimulate a roll. I did actually see it, but I couldn't say that it was wishful thinking or real.
Well, I would think that something hitting like that, considering that we're talking about a rather small island, there'd be an awful lot of water that would roll right across the ocean. I can't imagine how high the tsunami would be from it, but I would imagine...
No tsunami. There's only a backlash. From what I saw, basically one-third or one-quarter of the Mediterranean was just emptied into steam.
Huh.
Oh, well, it turned into steam.
Uh-huh.
The backlash from that, I was only thinking of the mechanics, the backlash of that would be waves out the, Straits of Gibraltar. It would be tsunami in as far as... the Mediterranean area was concerned, but not.
Tony, have
I
you
wasn't looking at that?
Have you made any?
Sorry?
Have you made any attempt to draw a map of the impact?
I sent one to Cliff. He's probably listening, or maybe he's asleep.
Yeah, Cliff. Cliff. No, he's not asleep. It's too early for him, even for Cliff.
He's got to catch up because he's up all night staring at that damn moon.
Cliff, if you're listening. Get on the phone and say hello. Listen, if you have...
But it's pretty serious what I'm saying. I didn't want to tell anyone. Serious stuff.
Tony, it's time for information to get out to the public. And the things that you've been talking about this evening, this is not going to get to... The national media is not going to talk about these things. And, I don't know if this is going to happen. I don't know... if it's a dream you had, I don't know. For all I know, maybe you are channeling something. I have no idea. But everybody deserves to listen for themselves and to discern and make up their own mind. And so, this information needs to come out. What I would ask you is if you've made some maps, if you've got them on a file of some sort, email them to me.
I trash all those things. I don't think I've got that one, but Cliff's got a copy of the drawing I made. I made an assumption that if this happened, then where the major dangers are the migration zones of people trying to get out of the way. But you fellas over there won't be very happy if the rollover, as I saw it, happens, because Reno, Nevada is the North Damn Pole.
Oh, yeah.
But don't panic. I don't think we're headed for polar caps if we do a rollover.
When you say rollover, how many degrees are we talking about? We're talking about, 5 degrees, 15 degrees.
I imagined or I felt that the planet was just going to roll. It almost looked like it was just going to roll over, around, and pretty slowly, not just jolt over, and then it would settle on a spot. That's what this other, and I must say it was a vision, but it was a physical vision. That's what I saw with this moon coming out of Lake Victoria in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I must also add, all of this can have double meaning.
Such as?
And, well, I'd like to take it back to, let's take it home, you know, to us. You know, you, I, personal, the physical body.
Mm-hmm.
I regard, I don't know if you've seen some of my posts where I talk about the planet and its body parts as human. I seem to be able to look at the planet and say, yeah, there's that and there's the liver, there's the stomach and all that sort of stuff. Well, Crete is the pituitary gland.
Interview with...
Well, that's quite a relationship or an analogy you just made there. How, I mean, when we start talking about a pituitary gland, you know, under the brain, why do you make that analogy?
Well, Crete is the pituitary gland of the earth, or the area of the pituitary gland. So, without trying to confuse everyone, I was just trying to say now, if this event is actually an event that takes place in my body or everyone's body.
Oh,
I see. It looks like a clearing of the pituitary gland.
Okay. Why don't you give the audience a little bit of knowledge about what you know the pituitary gland to be? Because some people have suggested it has something to do with psychic skill. You go on with that.
No, the pineal gland is the one where it's worshipped for its power, third eye, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of people ignore the pituitary, and I'm not quite sure. All the glands in the body are the most important little vessels we have. They are the centers for all manner of neurochemical functions and body chemicals. And
so you're saying that we may, in fact, go through some sort of physical change because of is what you're suggesting?
Yes.
Well, Tony, that you know,
and I don't agree with the things about the chakra. You know, chakras, but the pituitary gland is the crown chakra.
Well, Tony,
so if you like to look at it that way, the crown is opened.
Tony, I got to interrupt you here. We're running out of time, and I have to do a wrap up. I had a thoroughly fascinating conversation with you. And you do a lot of...
I don't want anyone to worry.
No, they won't worry. Tony, people are listening to BBS Radio are so used to hearing this kind of information. Believe me, it doesn't bother them at all. They put it in their mind with everything else that they've heard. And believe me, no one is getting frightened from this conversation. But listen, Tony, I've got to say goodnight to you. I've got to get you to hang up so I can wrap up this show. I really loved having you on. Will I be able to get you on again?
Yes, I'd like to talk a bit about the oxygen therapies because that's very important if you want to get yourself back to the Garden of Eden.
All right, then let's do it. I've got to say goodnight to you and then you hang up. Okay, Guy?
Okay.
Thank you so much for being with us tonight and goodnight to you.
That's okay. Say goodnight.
Well, folks, you got it straight right down from down under. that was the very first interview that I have done on this show, TNT Radio. And Tony goes by the name of Hugh Ray on the TNT board. An amazing individual. He writes very well, and he's got a lot to say. And you heard him say at the very end here, that there are some things he wants to talk about in terms of oxygen, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know all the details. I really don't. But I definitely am going to have Tony back on. Oh, let me do a little bit of wrap up here. I'm just going to read the editorial to you. I'm starting to get involved in writing editorials. Let me read to you what Democratic Senate Leader Harry Reid had to say. Quote, our federal wallet is stretched to the limit by illegal aliens getting welfare, food stamps, medical care, and other benefits, often without paying any taxes, end quote. Now, you want to know my answer to Democratic Senator Leader Harry Reid? Here's my answer. Are you ready, folks? What a pile of horse shit. That's right. The sentence that he made would be a lot more truthful if it read as follows. Now, this is from me. This is mine. Our federal wallet is stretched to the limit by congressmen ripping off tax money for their vacation jaunts, girlfriends, and parties. That's where our federal money goes, folks. Do illegal aliens get welfare? Sure. Some of them do, and some of them even get free medical service. Now, compared to the billions, and I mean billions, squandered and ripped off by Congress, or the billions spent by Georgia's private war in Iraq, the money going to illegal aliens for free medical service and food is a drop in the bucket. Hell, I'd rather the illegal alien have access to food and medical care as opposed to stealing money to eat or being so damn sick that every time they sneeze on a bus, 10 other people fall over. That's it, folks. We're out of time. Godspeed.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning in to our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.